as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan into the studio for Community Contact. Good morning, Sherry. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Lori. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Generally, the second and fourth Monday are the council meetings. We have council members in on the Monday. Corey Martin was here yesterday. And on Tuesday, we have the mayor, if your schedule allows. So I appreciate it. First of all, let's correct something yet from yesterday where Corey and I thought there was going to be a homecoming parade Thursday night. I know I read it somewhere.
Right. And you probably did, because there was going to be a parade. But they tried to put it together in 2 to 3 weeks, just not really enough time for, you know, the school to pull it off or the kids. So we're going to wait till next year, do a homecoming parade then. But this year there's going to be a homecoming bonfire. That's going to be down on the North Beach Park. They used to do this in the past where the parade would go from the Civic Center down to the park.
And then the bonfire.
So they'll do a bonfire down there starting from at 6 o'clock. It'll be from 6 to 8. So
okay. And that's primarily for the kids, but I suppose anybody could come by.
It is. And it's a busy night. There's a there's a middle school championship game in Daphne, Fairhope Middle School championship football. There's a St. Michael's game. There's Cleanwater, Alabama. So Thursday night is a busy night in town. But it's for the kids but anybody from the community as well.
Okay. And tell us about the Clean Water Act meeting. I didn't get that notice.
So Clean Water Alabama is obviously an organization that's here in town. John Manelos and Joe Faust, State Representative Joe Faust, have been really involved in this effort. And it's basically just to educate people about things that cities do, the state does, things that we can do to keep Mobile Bay clean and make sure that we do everything we can do to be good stewards of our environment. So they really do a lot of education and look for opportunities to be able to do things that that will improve the quality of Mobile Bay.
And that meeting is where and when?
It's at Coastal Alabama. It starts at 6 o'clock on Thursday. Okay. And I think John Sledge is the keynote speaker.
Okay, very okay. good. So last night was Fairhope City Council. As is customary, one of the first items on the agenda is the report of the mayor. What
right.
did you report?
So last night we had our junior city council there, which we're really excited to announce them this year. This is the fourth year we've done the junior city council. Every year we make a few little changes just to make it better. This year Daphne and Spanish Fort have also started junior city council, so we're hoping to do some collaborative projects with them and to also engage these students in more of the government activities. We have one of them that's going to be serving on the Triangle Steering Committee. We really want to engage them with the boards, look for areas that they're interested in and place them in those areas so they can really see how government works. So, again, announced those last night. We actually have one student that's on there, Mary Frances Collins. She's from Bayside Academy. She's a junior. And her grandfather, Woody Collins, is the mayor of Demopolis. So he came last night and he was there at the meeting for her to be announced.
Mm-hmm. That's
so it was
great.
Really nice. Well, yes.
Do you have the list of the others? Would you like to mention them? Relatives might be listening.
Yes. So we have Ava Cocky. She's from St. Michael's, and she's a senior. Ella McDowell is also a senior. Ellery Scott, Joe Solomon. Juniors is Mary Frances Collins, Jackson Adams, Ethan Kellerman, Josie Lynn, and Addison Spears, all from Fairhope High School. And then we have sophomore Jillian Nichols from Fairhope High School also.
And these applied for the opportunity to do this.
They do.
So they want to learn leadership and community service. That's great.
They do. And again, we're training our next our next leaders here for city government possibly, so excited to be able to do that.
Okay. Anything else on the mayor's report?
The other thing I just did was thank our electric crew. They came back on Friday from Wauchula, Florida, and really excited to have them back, and they learned a lot. They enjoyed being there, and I actually had the folks from Wauchula reach out, and they're going to be here in Fairhope in the next month or so. They want to come and do a presentation at the city council and just thank the crews for being there, so look forward to hosting them here in Fairhope.
That had to be a tough thing, dealing and living with no power.
Yes.
Did they have hotels? How were they accommodated?
They did not. So that's one of the things we're doing after action meeting, just to talk about that, because when you go to those storm areas, some of the systems aren't as reliable or as resilient as ours, and so they pretty much did not have power most of the time they were there. They were sleeping on air mattresses in a civic center. They were feeding them, they were taking really good care of them, washing their clothes, but they did not have any power. And again, we're living in conditions that we don't want to live in here in Fairhope. So it was a real eye-opener, I think, for some of the gentlemen who went, and just again want to do that after action report to see to learn from them too, how we can do things better here when we have mutual aid crews, but also when we send crews other places, to make sure we're sending them with the things that they need to to get a job done.
Good. Very good. Also, before we get rolling on the agenda, the Veteran of the Year application process is happening now. The deadline is coming up in just about a week. Tell us about that.
That's correct. Every year we recognize a Veteran of the Year who actually leads our Veterans Day Parade. Those applications are available here at the city. I think they're available online. Usually they're at also the American Legion and the VFW. So if you know a local veteran who you want to honor, please make sure you turn that in. And there's an selection process. The former Veterans of the Year actually select the Veteran of the Year. So, you know, get that in the next week or so.
And then they lead the parade November 5th.
That's correct.
At 10 a.m. That starts and ends at the Fairhope Civic Center.
That's right.
Okay. All righty. And on to the agenda. Final adoption of the water rates. And give us a brief overview of that. Yeah. And I presume it passed.
It did. It passed. We've talked about this for the past, I guess, three meetings.
Yes.
We had a work session in the past two meetings. And basically, this is an ascending rate. So that means the higher amount of water you use, there's actually a dollar extra charge. So if you use over 7,000 gallons of water, you'll get charged an extra dollar for, you know, that usage.
And that's it.
That's it.
All. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this basic drought that we've been in, how's our water supply right now? You know, we had a scare a few months ago, and it would seem like we might be near that again.
Our
grass is brittle, and I even started sprinkling.
Yes, it is. Hopefully, we're going to get some rain tomorrow, but we are seeing high numbers. We are seeing, you know, up to 8.5 million gallons being used. One thing that it has done for us is, you know, we're putting in an additional well and digging a test well, and we have to take a well offline to be able to test this well to ADEM standards. So we haven't been able to do all that testing because we can't turn the one well off because we're pulling so much water.
Wow.
So it has delayed that process somewhat. But yes, we are pulling a lot of water. We are continuing to post on social media about, you know, if you're irrigating, please do that overnight, not at the peak times of the day. Hopefully we'll get some rain tomorrow that will alleviate some of it, but we are using a lot of water.
Okay, so we just need to be just aware.
Yes.
Just be aware.
Voluntary conservation.
Be conservative. Okay. Items number 7 and 8 on the agenda have to do with amending personnel rules and policies.
Right.
Corey Martin, councilman, mm-hmm. mentioned that was primarily concerning overtime.
So we actually end up pulling number 7. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We have two levels of overtime in this, or two levels of on-call pay in the city, or standby pay. You have those, which I hate to use this term because the employees are very sensitive about it, essential employees. Things that if those services are not offered to employees, or if they go dark, like electricity, if there's a water main break, if there's a sewer spill, those are essential services where those employees have to come in and take care of those things, a gas leak, those mm-hmm. kind of things. Then you have another layer of employees, like if you were to have a major gas leak and you needed to call in customer service to answer the phone, if you need to serve a warrant and they need to call in a magistrate. So there's two layers of on-call pay.
Okay.
We were trying to differentiate that. We need to have a little bit more discussion over it. Again, I don't really want to sit there and debate who's essential and who's not in that meeting. So I think we'll come back with some more information, but we did pull it last night.
Okay, and is 8 also pertaining to the same thing?
8 was not pertaining to the same thing. 8 is about our health insurance benefits. So we started a wellness program several years ago where employees can go get a biometric screening, and that tells them kind of their risk factors for their health, anything, things that will be impactful to our insurance costs. If you have high blood pressure, if you have high cholesterol, things that could, you know, say you're going to have heart disease, be an indicator of heart disease. So what we are doing is, starting in January, if you're an employee of the city and you are covered under our health insurance, you will have to get a biometric screening and attend coaching sessions if you are found at risk for these health indicators. If not, you'll be charged $50 a month on your health insurance until you do those things.
Okay. To be preventative and proactive.
Correct.
Okay. Let's see here. Number 11, we're getting LED lighting at Volanta Park for up to $78,000. Is that for the new fields?
That's for the new fields, the four new fields. And that is just, again, for installation of the lights. We don't have the equipment to put the poles in. So they will put the poles in and install the lights. We've done the conduit and everything to run to the lights, but this is just that portion of it.
Does this include the cost of the lights?
It does not.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's just the installation.
Okay. Number 12 is a really big number I want to ask you about. Mayor Sullivan is hereby authorized to execute a contract for natural gas engineering consulting services with Magnolia River, not to exceed $500,000.
Yes,
that's a whopper. What is that?
It is a large number. So we have selected Magnolia River. We've talked about this for a number of years. It's the cast iron replacement or leak prone pipe replacement.
Oh, okay.
So it's not only cast iron but also steel services in the gas department. This $500,000 is $200,000 of it is for a leak survey or atmospheric corrosion survey, which will tell us the most sensitive areas in town that we need to focus on. So that's $200,000, and that is a report that you're federally mandated to do. You have to do it every year. And also, it will quantify the areas, again, that are more leak prone that we need to focus on first. So that's the first thing. The other $300,000 will be for them to start developing a plan for that cast iron and steel pipe replacement. So we have $1 million in the budget for this engineering, because this is possibly a $15 million project.
Whoa.
So they will come back after they expend this amount of money and hopefully at that point in time be able to tell us how much longer it will take, how much more money they will need. But we felt like the $200,000 for the leak survey and then $300,000 to get them started to start investigating our system, to get all the information they need and start developing that plan. We didn't want to, budget the whole amount right now, knowing that they'll have to come back and possibly come back and say, this is where we are, this is what we need, and move forward from there.
And how long will it take for this service to be done?
To do all the replacement?
No,
or just the engineering?
For the engineering,
we're hoping
to do their job.
This will be done within the year. I would say 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 months.
All right. Let's see. Pest control. What is number 14? Execute a project development agreement between the City of Fairhope and RW Battles LLC, contingent on annexation into the City of Fairhope. What is that?
Right, and that did get pulled last night also, but it only got pulled because development agreements like that, because you are expending city money, require 7-day notice, and we didn't publish the agenda until Thursday. But this is an agreement with the Publix at Battles where we actually did a partnership with them on some utility services, and we'll rebate some tax money after we collect it for them to annex into the city. So if you do not annex into the city and you're a retail establishment, then we would collect 1% of that sales tax, and they would have 1%, and the county would get a percent. If they come into the city, then we collect all 2%. So we're basically going to rebate some of that sales tax for a certain number of years to be able to get them to annex in.
Okay. All right. And is 15 what you were talking about? We talked about last time with the K1 Center.
The environmental study.
To the asbestos and whatnot.
Correct.
At the K1 Center, environmental study, $39,800. And then, since the budget was approved in record time, congratulations.
Yes. Thank
again.
You. Thank you.
It was time to make all the appropriations.
It was.
These are the monetary gifts or donations you give to nonprofits.
Right. And again, this is something that it is contractual. They have to do certain things for the city, these organizations do, in order for us to give them this money. So, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory on all this, but I'll just pick out Ecumenical Ministries, for example. We do give them $10,000, but in exchange for that, they operate a utility savings account for us, basically. So if you are somebody who, are just struggling and can't make ends meet and need help with your utility bill, then we can refer you to Ecumenical Ministries. They administer that account for us, and they will be able to vet you and make sure you are financially needy and be able to give you some money towards your utility bill, hopefully. But again, so everything that we do here, there is a contractual agreement with these folks. So we're not just giving away city dollars.
Fairhope Film Festival, Eastern Shore Art Center, Downtown Business Association,
right.
Eastern Shore Chamber, Fairhope Pirate Booster Club,
right.
Mobile Bay National Estuary, Point Clear Rotary Youth Club,
right.
is a larger amount than most. And then the Haven, let's talk about those two.
So the Haven first, again, I mean, they run our, animal shelter. We do have an animal control officer, but they basically run the shelter for us. So that's really a really good deal for the city. I mean, if we had to to run that ourselves, it would be a much higher cost. So
it's $150,000.
$150,000 is what we give them. And again, there are things contractually that they have to do for the city as far as intakes and help with adoptions and some of those kind of things. Yep.
They're on the city property and the city building.
They
and
are.
Like you said, they run the shelter and the haven together.
That's right,
and
with animal control.
Animal control officer is actually
correct.
In that building.
Correct. And then also with the Rotary Youth Club, you know, again, they're in a city facility. The city owns that facility, and they operate a program, a daycare program, you know, our basically, it's tutoring programs, it's summer programs. They do all kinds of great things for our youth here in the community, so it's a great program and glad to have them and glad to be able to support them.
Keeps kids off the street.
It does.
Teaches them, you know, responsibility.
Absolutely.
And so much more in after school to prevent what we used to call latchkey children.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, let's see what else. Let's talk about the 33. Mm-hmm. I had not heard of this somehow. A disc golf course that's going to be created at the Colony property, which is also where the Boy Scouts property is at
13 and 44.
44, Twin Beach.
So, you know, that's a property that I think the rec board has been talking about for a while, what to do with that property. I know Fairhope Environmental Advisory Board's also been involved with that on trying to come up with a maintenance plan for it. But we're looking for some passive recreation to be able to do there because it's just a large area of green space that's really underutilized at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Recreation Board recommended putting a disc golf course out there. So we will be doing that. We still are going to have the one at Valencia. The one that's still there, but this will allow us a secondary location for one. So again, it's a, you know, great way to be able to use that property in a passive form of recreation.
That's become a very popular
sport. It has.
So
we're seeing more and more people do it.
It's a good idea. A 32, to back up a minute, mm-hmm. is concerning the Fairhope Film Festival, which you also give an appropriation to.
But we do.
It brings in so many people from out of town and generates revenue.
It does. That's one of those things for economic development, you know, being able to bring those people into town. They stay in our hotels. It increases sales tax, lodging tax, all those kind of things. We also allow them to use the Welcome Center for their ticket hub. But it is a great event. And they are, I think this year, they're celebrating their 10th year, which is amazing. So excited to have Film Festival back. And, you know, look forward to all the great films that they'll be showing here in town that weekend of November 12th.
November, let's see here. Wednesday, let's see. It's going to be Sunday's the 13th. So it's, 11th,
right.
12th, and 13th.
Right.
Okay. And what about the Church Street infrastructure project? We had expected by now that the entrance to North Church at Fairhope Avenue would be closed.
Yeah.
It was announced that would have happened, I think,
right.
on September 26th.
Right.
They're still working further down Church at Church and Fells. What is the latest on the Church Street infrastructure project?
They are still working on that. I know last night that we got an update that all the utility work is done, which we're excited about that. I was looking for my notes here, Lori, so I could tell you exactly what was going on with that intersection.
Well, we can take a brief break. We are talking with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan here on Community Contact and asking about the latest on the Church Street infrastructure project.
Yes, so it does look like we're finishing up that utility work there, and we still are going to have to you know, do some closing of the intersections, and that's basically to address some of the drainage improvements that have been done. And again, we'll also close all that to be able to repave again and to drop these manholes and do all the, you know, all the finishing touches that we have to do. So there will still be some closures.
So the end of October doesn't look like it's going to be the completion date.
I would say it's going to be pretty, you know, maybe not right at the end of October, mm-hmm. but certainly the first week or so of November, you know, depending on what happens with weather. But so far we've had pretty good weather. I think they're still targeting a substantial amount of the completion for the end of the month. So
okay.
I really think that you're going to see a lot of push the end of right now to the next couple weeks.
Surveyors have been out here mm-hmm. all week doing surveying. I didn't know if it was for the paving or for what, and you don't know. And another thing we need to mm-hmm. mention is folks that are seeing the no parking after 5 signs.
That's right.
That's because
the tree lighting. It's amazing that we're already getting ready for that, but that's because the crews are coming out very early in the morning and overnight to put lights in the trees. So just be mindful of that, and please don't park in those areas.
Yes, because they've got to use the bucket trucks and get the lights on the trees.
That's right.
The tree lighting, November 17th, which at this rate will be here before we know it.
That's right.
Crazy how time flies. One item, a big item on the agenda that I failed to ask about is number 6, an ordinance to authorize the operation of a medical cannabis dispensary within the corporate limits of the city of Fairhope.
Right. That was introduced last night. There were a couple people who spoke out against the medical marijuana dispensary in Fairhope. When they introduced the ordinance, they did add some language to just basically, it says that a dispensary may be operated in a municipality if the municipality has passed an ordinance authorizing the operation of dispensaries within the municipal's corporate limits. And we included to say where expressly allowed by planning and zoning on the applicable use tables and only in overlay districts. There's going to be some areas where these, you know, their intent is not to allow them in the CBD, in the Central Business District.
Which is basically downtown.
Correct. You also, the state does not allow them to go within 1,000 feet of schools and daycares. So we also talked about possibly exempting them from churches or only allowing them in the medical overlay districts. So until we get those things worked out, we did not want to introduce this ordinance without something in there that says they will only be allowed in certain areas.
And now, if I understand correctly, this doesn't necessarily mean one's going to be here.
It does not.
Because, as you said, the state is very regulatory and very limited on the amount and who will able to operate them. This is in case one wants to locate here.
That's correct. And they don't get to apply to the state till the end of December. But in order for them to decide where they're going to put them, we have to say, yes, we're going to allow them. So they can put them in different areas across the state.
Or you can say no.
Or you can say no. That's right. One thing that was a misconception last night as people spoke is that, you know, that they're going to be like, that the product will be, there will be like candies, or they could be smoked. That is not true. The products that will be allowed are oral tablets or capsules, non-sugar coated cubes, gel, oil, creams, suppositories, patches, nebulizers, and liquid that you would possibly put an inhaler. You won't see people just sitting around smoking marijuana. No raw plant material. So that was one thing. And then they were saying that the food products could be like candies that would entice children, but that also is not true. So again, in this, they also spoke out. And it seemed to me like they were saying, well, this is just the next step in legalizing marijuana. Well, obviously, that's not something we as a city are going to have the right to do.
Right.
This is just about a medical dispensary that's very regulated by the state, that your doctor will have to prescribe it. Your doctor will have to, you know, qualify you for the program. So this is nothing more than us allowing a dispensary here or something that would be like a pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
It is not legalizing marijuana. It is not for people to walk around, you know, the street smoking marijuana or anything like that. Your doctor would have to qualify you for this program.
And okay, all right, well, good to clarify. How many people did speak up?
Three.
All right.
And I really have only heard from two in my office, so
all right.
You know, again, it's very regulated by the state. Again, it's something that, you know, I know other municipalities in Baldwin County have said, you know, we would put a dispensary or integrated facility or whatever they choose to in their community. And again, I mean, we don't know that there will be one that comes here. If the city council does say, you know, pass the ordinance the next time after it lays over for 2 weeks, then, you know, it's going to be up to the state to decide who's approved and where those dispensaries go.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention that I haven't thought to ask?
I don't think so. I think we've covered a lot.
Okay, we have.
We have.
And homecoming weekend, we mentioned.
That's right, homecoming.
The bonfire. No parade Thursday night, but there's a bonfire at 6 for the high school kids and anybody that might want to come down to Pier Park.
Or you can come to Daphne and cheer on the Fairhope Middle School Pirates. They'll be playing for the championship.
Yep, and then Friday night is the football game in the homecoming
Correct.
Court.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you for coming to see my son, by the way.
Oh, no, that was great.
Sherry came down to the field a couple of weeks ago for the Athletic Hall of Fame induction. That was nice of you to come say hello.
It was great to see your whole family there, too.
It was quite an honor. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you.
If you missed part of this interview or you want to tell a friend, you can listen to it later. It will be posted at WABF1480.com. It is now 8:50, 10 minutes away from 9 o'clock, and 64 degrees. Woven treasure.